Hello, I should be writing number 517. I think that's what the previous screen said, right? So my name is Merle Lafferty. This is I Should Be Writing, the live stream, and the later on released via podcast. I have a new background because I was moving things around my... Or rather, I have an old background. Because I was moving things around my desktop and forgot that where the sun image was, and then deleted it. I'm not saying it was a good idea. And my voice sounds like crap this morning. How are you? I finished my book yesterday and turned it in. And every time I think that I will have this immense, happy, relieved feeling, the burden is down, I've achieved something, it feels great. That never happens. Never happens. It's almost always a letdown. There's doubt of things I probably should have changed. Things I could tweak. I could tweak it forever. Never turn it in. The whole post-project thing, letdown, is a very real thing. And for some reason in our society, we have this concept that we should have, when we create something and we achieve something, when we're done, it should be just like roses and bonbons. And it almost never is. And I just wish I could A, remember that, and B, you know, accept it. Because last night, I was playing games with friends, got a video chat with my kid, and as we went on, my mood just started to gradually go downhill. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? Every time I have to ask this, what is wrong with me? And then I realized it was the normal post-book sad. I hate that. Because the end of the book is something you look forward to. It's like, I worked very hard. I turned it in. I'm happy with the book. I could tweak some things, but I'm happy with it. But I just... It's like the rejection thing. You gotta accept those feelings and process them before you move on, instead of denying them. Probably stayed up a little too late, just playing video games and feeling melancholy. But I'm doing better today. I've dedicated today to working on my goals, establishing my goals, and working on my stream stuff. I've got new software to play with, and I'm pretty happy with how this is looking right now. I'm still not sure about the background, but I do like the large planet thing. Underpope says, yay for finishing the book. Indeed. I've been working on this book for a very long time. I sold it on a rough outline, and then worked hard on it, and then my editor left, and then I was having trouble with it, and I think, while it wasn't a conscious thing, I think my editor leaving kind of threw me off. And then when the new editor got the comments back, I knew it would need a lot of work, and I was right. But as I was working on it, 2020 came, and I haven't talked about it in length, because a lot of it's personal, but 2020 kind of started out bad for me, like January. I know that the world came to a halt for America in March, but things were already stressful for me. And I just took a lot longer to fix it than I thought I would. So it is a huge relief, but it's also just some kind of tired melancholy. Not happy about it. It's just true. So how is everybody? I'm not even sure how many people are in the chat because I don't use the, I don't see how much information's in the mobile version. Anyway. Would love to hear how you guys are doing. Would love to hear if anybody's tried my advice on focusing on a different creative pursuit in order to unlock your writing. I'm really interested to see if that helps. Because I only have a data point of one. And while I guess that counts, you can base advice on that. It's not scientific advice, for sure. But this morning, I decided to start working on my goals again. And I hate that again. I hate this part about aging when you realize that you've tried something numerous times, and it falls apart every time. Like, the artist's way, I get bogged down week six or so, and that happened again. And I was even trying to, like, focus, this is COVID time, this is a wonderful time to go back into the artist's way and you know, research, go back to my creativity, whatever, go back to the well. And now I've got a bunch of books on productivity and setting goals and how to do so. And I worked on that this morning. And the hardest thing for me about setting goals as a writer is I don't know what goals to set. For me, goals are start book, finish book. If I want to break it down, it's like start book, write a chapter a week or 1,000 words a day or something. But that doesn't feel like a career goal. That feels like a, you know, now goal. So I've been doing some research into not only setting goals, but also setting goals as a writer. Unfortunately, what I found was focused more on, again, your goal is word count. So how do you get the right, how do you make that habit? And one thing that was interesting was, I think for a writer, you need to be thinking about what happens after you're done with the book, because setting the goals for the book is good. I think you also have to think about promotion. You have to think about your online presence. You can't, I still don't think you can set a goal for like getting an agent or getting a book deal. You set a goal for doing everything you can in that direction. But I mean, if you do every single thing you possibly can and you don't get an agent, that seems rather unfair. Because you achieve, it's like if you achieve a goal to query, to research, research is important, research agents, query agents, follow up with agents, those are all things that you have complete control over. And I don't know, everyone knows the goal is getting an agent, but you need something measurable and something you can control. But I realized that doing promotional things, starting a Twitch channel, starting a YouTube channel, getting one more social media platform under you, promotion. If you follow me on Twitter, you will have noticed that I hired someone to do promotional tweets for me, and they're even more creative and more and funnier than I hoped they would be. So I find a lot more people are retweeting my just general Patreon and Twitch reminders, which is awesome. Well worth the money. Let's check the chat. Underpope is doing well. Excellent. I like hearing that. Especially this year. Cheryl says, trying to shake off feedback from a well-meaning friend and not second-guess myself. It's, yeah, that sucks. I once started a project in a place that I really was happy with. I thought, this is a hook. This is interesting. These are interesting characters. And I sent it to a friend of mine who is 99.9% of the times a fountain of positivity. And they came back with, you got passive voice in the first paragraph. That's not what I wanted to hear. It's uninteresting would have been better than that, because at least that created an opinion. But the only opinion was, I used passive voice in the first paragraph. So yeah, you don't know how those things are just gonna sideline you. And Cheryl, you gotta remember that it is important to get other people's opinions, but you don't have to listen to them. Or you can take a step back from the emotional response to it, and then think about it next week. Maybe they have a point, and you can figure out how to take that as a positive thing and move forward. Or maybe they're full of it. Maybe they gave you that advice when they were having a crappy day. The only good thing about the Sex and the City movie, this is not a segue, this is connected. The only good thing about the first Sex and the City movie was the fact that they wrote a parallel storyline about how Miranda was unhappy in her marriage and unfortunately talked to Big at Carrie's wedding, and he got so spooked he left. And then Carrie wouldn't talk to Miranda forever, and then the situation Miranda's marriage was in, where she would not forgive or talk to her husband, became the situation between Miranda and Carrie. And that was clever storytelling, I thought, because Miranda was in the middle of both and realized that if she expected Carrie to forgive her, she would have to forgive her husband. And I think what she did was she took her information. I mean, granted, hearing your husband cheated on you is a little different than getting bad feedback from a story, but just not acting on your first emotional response is a good idea. So just sit back with that advice and just let it sit. It might be worthwhile, it might not. Cheryl says, the alternative creative project has helped me in the past. Solutions have come to me when I'm in the middle of knitting. Yes. If you don't know Cheryl, she is an amazing knitter. Very frequent entry into convention masquerades. And what are you known as? You did a Klingon knitting thing? I can't remember. But you got this, I know you got a nickname applied to you because of all your amazing knitting. Hopefully she'll tell us in the chat. But I'm just trying. The only bad thing about me stepping back from an emotional reaction is I am a people pleaser and really good at gaslighting myself. So if I step back from righteous anger, then I will start to second guess myself and go, well, should I really be mad about that, or is it my fault somehow? I don't like admitting that, but it's the truth. I always try to figure out if something's my fault, and if it's my fault, then I can do something to fix it. Yeah, reading a book about textbook people pleasers was eye-opening and depressing. Eye-opening and depressing. But anyway, talking about goals, I'm setting goals for my streaming, setting goals for my podcast, and setting goals for my writing. They're all going to be, I think they're all going to be 100%, I don't know. I'm still going through it, because I remember my friend Grant, he did the Dr. Floyd radio show back in podcast early days, and he does a lot of puppetry stuff now, and I think he hit a major milestone with followers that was his goal, and I love that, but it still scares me because I don't have control over it. What I have control of is promoting myself and making sure I'm consistent and making sure that I'm entertaining and making sure that I'm well lit and all that stuff. But I think maybe some goals that are out of your reach or out of your control make sense. I'm just going back on myself. I'm gaslighting myself again, aren't I? Yeah. I'm going to set goals that I can control. I can control my consistency. I can control how I engage in Twitch communities and how I sorry, I did that thing again where my brain froze and then I thought my brain froze and I'm live streaming. Oh God, my brain froze and I'm live streaming and I still haven't said anything. I didn't mention that when I finish a book, my brain is fried. My brain just decides to go on vacation. Anyway, I want to be more active on Instagram. I always feel guilty whenever I get a note that someone's followed me on Instagram because I almost never post there. I'm like, I don't know what you're following, but thanks. But it is a platform I need to be using. I'm not an influencer. I'm not going to Photoshop my face or my body. I am not going to put myself in an incredibly dangerous position to get a really good photo. But I'll cross-promote. And I would like to set a goal for subscribers or followers. But I just worry that since that is out of my hands, that will discourage me. But I actually texted Grant this morning and said I wanted to talk to him about a couple of things because Grant and I, we do different things, but our careers have kind of been at the same levels frequently because we started podcasting at the same time and we've talked about professional disappointments and stuff. And I know followers were a goal of his, so I'm going to try to figure out if that's a feasible goal or I'll just depress myself. Looking down to check at the chat again, Cheryl says, there's another knitting Klingon out there who gets the name before me, but my costume pictures are up on my website. Let's see, CherylRHayes.com. This morning I was working on goals. This afternoon I'll be working on Twitch stuff like the bots and the software. If I'd been thinking, I would have done that this morning and worked on the goal stuff this afternoon, so we wouldn't have Nightbot and Streamlabs saying stupid stuff in the chat and stopping people from posting links, because I know someone could run across me and think and start posting crap, but I really doubt that I'm big enough to attract that right now. It's been a fun, humbling thing, starting over with media. You know, I built a good audience in podcasting, and I built a, I don't know, mid-lister following for my writing. But Twitch is absolutely new, and so I am a baby streamer. Speaking of baby streamers, I'm trying to raise money for the Extra Life campaign, which gives money to children's hospitals. I'm raising money for Duke Children's Hospital, so if you check out that link above my head, you can help me make my goal of $500. Would appreciate it. It's been slow going, so anything you can do, dollar. So grateful. Todd says, it's all good, you are where you are, one step at a time. Yeah, that's what I keep trying to tell myself. There's so much involved, from what I've researched, in being a successful streamer, that if I try to do it all at once, I will get overwhelmed and quit in despair. And I don't want to get overwhelmed and quit in despair because I'm enjoying it, so I'm trying to improve one thing at a time. Like this light. I look like I have a sunburn. But that's much worse. That's a little better. Okay. Probably should have done that. Now I look like I have a sunburn again. I don't have a sunburn. Anyway, we're back at blue, but it's a little less intense. So does anybody have anything they want to talk about? I feel like I've been flailing a little bit today, but as I said, tapioca, I'm not handling the book being done and then jumping right back into creative stuff very well. But anything you guys want to talk about, I would be delighted to do so. Let's see, Streamlabs says, follow me on Twitter. Thanks, Streamlabs. Oh boy. Is there anything people are mad about in publishing? Because I haven't heard any dirt lately. I've been staying off of Twitter. People are not talking a lot about publishing that I can tell. They're talking an awful lot about more global current events. But, yeah, I saw that some, I won't name him, but an agent posted yesterday, I've tried to write this tweet several times, and I'm finally just going to say, I'm very, very angry and you know who you are, or something like that. Luckily, I've never talked to the man, so I am not, even though I almost always think something could be my fault in some way. This one is not. Underpope says, oh wait, first Whirling Nerdish. I've been trying to use Instagram more, but I feel so out of touch. I don't get it. I know! I just, it's like, I feel so damn old. I look at it and I'm like, okay, there's stories, but there are pictures. And I know I'm following people, but I'm not quite sure how to just, it doesn't seem to be chronologically updating like Twitter used to do. And I'll get a notice on my phone saying, hey, this person you follow just updated their story. But I'll look and, like, other things take precedence. And I feel very lost on Instagram. And I feel so damn old saying that out loud. And live. So, yeah. Whirling Nerdish, if I figure it out, I'll let you know. Because I'd like to. Underpope says, when doing PitMad, do you have to say comp 1 times comp 2 because I can't come up with comps for my work in progress? I actually don't know the rules for PitMad. If you want to know what Underpope's talking about, it's a pitch session that is designed to, you pitch your book, and I guess that's for agents, right? So, and agents do watch it. I mean, it's like, it's an agreed upon thing. The writers follow a certain format, and they have to put hashtag PitMad, and then the agents will all look at it. I think one of the problems comes when regular people like the idea and want to comment and say, yay, I like that, but really it's only supposed to be agents interacting with the ideas, as far as I know. Tell me if I'm wrong, Underpope. The comp one time comp two, that you mean like, the book I just turned in is Murder, She Wrote meets Babylon 5. That sounds like comp being comparative. That's what you mean, right? I think people use that because it's very easy for people to imagine said thing. Because we establish, okay, Babylon 5, space station, aliens, diplomacy, Murder, She Wrote. Woman has murders happen around her and she solves them and then writes books about them. Actually, I don't remember if she wrote books about the murders she solved. She just was a mystery writer. So, you know, I have a person who around whom murders happen who goes to a space station. I think it's easy. I think that's the easiest way for people to think about it. Because as much as people say they want original ideas, they're more comfortable with ideas that they, with ideas that they're familiar with. And if you take that in a new direction, that's the exciting part. So I don't know the actual rules of PitMad. So I don't know if you have to do that for your elevator pitch. One of the hardest things about starting to pitch your work is the elevator pitch, because you are so embroiled in your awesome world and your awesome characters and their awesome adventures that you want to tell people everything. But fine-tuning it down to a couple of sentences is so much harder than people think it is. If you can't think of comparative titles, then I'd say have your friends read your synopsis and see if, or your book, and see and ask them what it reminded them of, if anything. Because there might be comparisons that you don't catch because you're too deeply in it. I mean, I came up with mine because I thought, you know, there are all these stories about mystery, the people who solve murders, but the murders happen around them. And people use, you know, have the joke of, well, Jessica Fletcher actually is the mass murderer. But no one ever says, like, Jessica shows up and no one ever screams and runs away. Because they know that a murder is probably going to happen at some point. But I thought, that's how people normally would react. They would not want to be around you. And I was thinking this as I was watching, you know, these murder shows, going through Miss Fisher and Father Brown. So I did get the idea from those murder shows. And I chose Murder, She Wrote because it is probably the one most, at least in the U.S., most recognizable. Oh, Annie's driving by saying hi. Hi, Annie. Sorry. I hope I didn't miss you. Let's see. We got more Pit Mad stuff. I think... Oh, there's actually been lots of stuff in the chat. Sorry, guys. Todd says, my kids make fun of me when I try to understand Instagram. Makes me feel old. I'm so sorry. That's not fair. It is much more complex than Twitter. And I don't know what Facebook is these days because I hate Facebook and left it years ago. But it's definitely a different animal. Ancela says, I think anyone can interact with PitMad, but you shouldn't like the pitch tweet unless you're an interested agent. I see. And retweets of PitMad pitches are fine. Just not liking it, that's what it is. You can't click the little heart unless you're a lit agent. So, but yeah, it's, I know the actual use of those comparisons feels like a trope or a cliche, but it is one of the fastest ways to let people know what your book is. So I would try to figure out if you have any comparisons. I mean, you could even say it's a lighthearted Dexter, or, you know, you could do one comparison and then put an emotion behind it to indicate how it's different. It's, hell, every single piece of media has left my head right now. That's awesome. Oh, it's like, what's the really weird movie about the brick, I think? It's the one where it's a noir murder mystery, but all the characters are teenagers. So, things like that. If you can find the genre and then say emotionally, or maybe with a fact inside, how it's different. But really, I just realized this. The elevator pitch says, here is something that people like, and here is a different take on it, and that's my book. Because you want to interest them with this thing they already like, but then tell them it's not the same. So I'd say, if you can't come up with two, try at least to come up with one and then tell us how it's different. I'm sorry if that's a lot of words to come to that conclusion, but I kind of had to work that out loud in my head. No, live on stream. Because that was all me talking out loud. Yes. I'm really not tipsy. I am just very mentally exhausted. Oh, I hope that helped, Underpope. You're welcome. Does anybody have any other questions? Let me check the Discord. Any properties you think could use a reboot? Oh. Gosh. I don't know. Reboots annoy me. I heard they're rebooting Battlestar Galactica. Again. But there are other space stories, and I'm not just saying that as somebody who wrote an original space story. There are other space stories. It's okay to tell those stories. My God. I don't know. I think I'd like to see Dexter, since I just brought it up. I've been rewatching it and remembered that I kind of dropped out before it ended. Because the stuff with his sister was kind of weird. And I saw the end. I read about the end and I didn't think that would have really worked for me anyway. But I really did like Dexter when it started out. The books were good, and then they went to a weird place. They essentially, you know, took an actual sociopath, but then gave him a supernatural reason why he's that way. And I'm thinking, there are really sociopaths that way. Whether they agree to follow the laws given them by their stepfather or their adoptive father, I don't know. But you don't need to put it to put something supernatural behind a sociopath. There's plenty out there. That was like there was an episode of Buffy that did that. They come across murdered children, and they're trying to figure out what monster did it because humans definitely couldn't have done that. And I'm like, of course they could. They do. It's not. I mean, it's horrifying, yes, but it happened. We don't need the supernatural for that. Why are you so shocked? Trek Poetry, I'm sorry. I still have not made it possible to, haven't worked with the bots to make it possible to post links. If you want to post, like, the middle part of the URL and tell us whether it's .com or something, that's fine. But, yeah, that's not going to come through on the chat. I'm sorry. So yeah, about reboots. I usually want stories to continue instead of being rebooted. So yeah, I don't think about that very often. Trek Poetry says, any help or ideas around brainstorming? I'm mind mapping a bunch of character and setting ideas, but trying to identify a good plot and twists. Love reading all the Pitmat pitches on Twitter, but not sure where to come up with details past the mashup of, like, West Wing times meets Star Trek DS9 into how to make interesting plot points. Well, to start with, I wouldn't say you... I think a lot of people don't start with the elevator pitch. I think they... You know, I said I came up with mine by thinking just what happens if people hang a lantern on the fact that, yeah, a lot of murders do happen around you. What's up with that? But it took me a long time to actually develop bringing the sci-fi aspect into it. Tips on brainstorming. View everything you watch, everything you listen to, everything you read, from the point of view of a writer. Even if you're enjoying it, when you look at it from the point of view of a writer, you think, what have they done with that character? How has that character evolved? And when you start thinking about it critically, at least for me, that starts putting ideas into my head. You know, there's a character I really like. I think I want to write a character with some of those qualities. And if there's a plot point that really moves me. I think, how could I use something similar? And that's how a lot of my brainstorming goes. I prefer to write on paper to brainstorm, but most of my brainstorming happens when I'm just sitting and thinking, and then I write it down when I get the idea. I think one of the biggest problems with I was going to say one of the biggest problems with the world today, but there are so many big problems with the world today. But let's talk, one of the smaller problems of the world today is we don't get bored. And there actually is a lot of validity to your mind struggles to entertain itself when you're bored. And in doing that, will give you ideas. When you go for a walk, when you're doing housework, when you're doing laundry. For me, I like to listen to stuff when I'm doing that, or have an episode of one of my favorite older TV shows on in the background so I can listen and enjoy, but if I miss something, I don't miss something. I like having that on, but really, if I want to brainstorm something, I will just turn everything off and just kind of let my mind go blank for a little while the subconscious does whatever the hell it does and tries to come up with stuff. Let yourself be bored, and that's really hard, I know. But, yeah, I wouldn't start with the elevator pitch. But start with reading a lot, watching a lot of movies and TV shows, and playing narrative games, and just get yourself soaking in story, and then see if your mind's going, you know what, I like this story, but it really, really should have gone in another direction. So, yeah, that's my advice. Brainstorming is very difficult to advise on because everyone's got different brains. So sometimes my brainstorming thing is I start writing, because a lot of times I can't come up with ideas unless I'm in the middle of a scene. As for writing, Carla says, I was pretty consistent in studying craft and working on an outline until my body went, here, have a baby. Yeah, you gotta remember that life may throw some things at you to distract from writing, but I know it feels like forever now, but your child will grow and become more independent and give you more time to yourself to follow your creative urges. As somebody who just took a kid to college, I can promise you, they do grow up. Doesn't seem to be anything more in the chat or in the Discord. So if you want to experience this live next time, I stream live Tuesday, Thursday on twitch.tv/mightymur. If you would like to listen to the podcast, or rather subscribe to the podcast, you can do so at murverse.com, where you'll also see my books, my other shows, and all the other stuff that I do. I wear a lot of hats, including this one. You want to email me, mightymur@gmail.com. If you want to support the Patreon, that's patreon.com/mightymur. But for the meantime, I would actually prefer if you give to Extra Life Duke Children's Hospital. I'm doing okay, so let's try to give them some money, help them out. And I think that's all my shilling. I have no new books. Yeah, I guess that's it. Thank you all very much for showing up and chatting with me. And thank you for listening if you're listening to this later. And I'll see you next time, next Tuesday. Oh, I'm also streaming gaming tonight at 8 Eastern Daylight Time and Sunday afternoon around 2. So if you like to watch games on Twitch, then you can watch me try to date pigeons. So, but until next Tuesday, you should be writing. And wear your mask, please. Yeah. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymur. I should be writing the theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. But I should be riding.